Like I said at the top of Sech Zayim and Amr Aleph, by the two dots, the Mishnah mentions that cloud, Kol Shebin Hato Benotein Tam. And so he said the Mishnah discusses the fact of whether it's Notein Tam Lifgam or Notein Tam Lif Shevach. If it's Notein Tam Lifgam, we don't worry about it. If it's Notein Tam Lishevach, then it is problematic. So Amr Rav Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Hochi Hochaso. This is the Halacha. The Halacha is this way. So Amr Rav Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Loshanu, that's only true El Shenafa L'Toch Grisin Rotchin. That's if, and this is the last line in the Mishnah, if the vinegar falls into the legumes, if it's hot, if they are hot, when they're being cooked, so then it's Notein Tam Lifgam, and it's Mutar. On the other hand, if it's Aval Nafal L'Toch Grisin Tzonanim, Ebehir Ticham, if they go into cold legumes, and then he afterwards heats them up. Nasa kishemish ishbiach lusof pgam basur. Because when they fall, when the vinegar falls into the cold legumes, that's actually positive or beneficial taste. So that's positive. And then v'ir ticham, then he heats them up. It's as if he was mashbiach, then he made them better. And only afterwards, or after the fact, is the vinegar detrimental. V'chein ki at the rav in amber rabba barchan and rabbi Yochanan, the same concept. Lo shanu lo shenafal lo toch gritzim brotchim, aval enafal lo toch gritzim tzonanim, v'yirticham nasek mishbiach, lusof pogem vasur. So there the notein tam lefgam has to be that it is notein lefgam immediately. Not that it was originally notein tam l'shevach, and only afterwards something happens that makes it be pogame, does not make it mutar. Then it was already a sur, and that doesn't help out the situation. And the chen ki ata Rav Dimi, so Rav Dimi had the same misalra, v'chulei, v'kach, and then his conclusion of his statement, v'kach ayosim barvei shabbatot b'tzipori. This is actually, I can show you that it's something that was of a positive taste, because this is how they used to prepare on Erev Shabbos. They used to prepare this dish for Shabbos in Tzipori. They used to take the legumes and pour vinegar onto the legumes to make it nice. V'korin oto shichlaim. And they used to call it kress. Shichlaim is kress. Toso says the reason they called it shichlaim is because kress, they also used to regularly put vinegar on top of it. So over here, when they were putting vinegar on top of the legumes, they called it the cress legumes, whatever the name that was given to it, but the implication being that they poured vinegar on it, and that was of beneficial taste, beneficial to the dish, and that's why they did it, and therefore it will be asur, and not mutar, even though in the end, if he heats it up, it would be notein tam, lifgam. Right now, Reish Lakish comes and tries to explain to us as two statements about notein tam lifgam. One is the chumra, which is the first statement, and then one is the kula, which is the second statement of Reish Lakish. They have big nafkuminot because this will determine how we judge what's called notein tam lifgam is mutar. So I'm Reish Lakish, notein tam lifgam shamru lo shiomru kidei rezu chasera melech yitera melech. Chasera tavlin, yetera tavlin. Ela, kon she'ein chasera klum, ve'eina nechelet mipnei zeh. How do we judge notein tam lefgam? We look at the dish in isolation of the bad taste that fell into it. We say, was this dish fully prepared and edible and good tasting before the item that is asur fell into it? It wasn't missing any salt. It didn't have too much salt. It wasn't missing being spiced up. It didn't have too much in the way of spices. I mean that the dish was perfect. Now, the item that is asur falls in, and it's notein tam lifgam. If that's the case, and it's no longer eaten because of that poor taste that it adds, the isur that falls in, then that is called notein tam lifgam. Both Rashi and Tosfot point out here that when it says eino ne'achelet, it means lav dafka. It's not like it's inedible. It doesn't have to make it inedible. It just has to ruin the taste of the dish. We're not talking about it being a pagam legamre. We're talking about it that it ruins the flavor. But, for instance, if it was lacking salt and this fell in, then maybe that would not be called notein tam lefgam. Because if it was fully salted, maybe this wouldn't have had the full effect or wouldn't have ruined the taste. So over here, we're looking at the dish. If in its perfect state, would this ruin the taste of the dish? So this is the tzad chumra of Reish Lakish, which is that you have to look at the notein tam lefgam in the state of not the state of the dish now, but the state of the dish, if it was in perfection, if it had a perfect taste, would this be notein tam lefgam or not? So there, this is the tzad chumra. Ve'ikadamre, this is the tzad kula of Reish Lakish. Amar Reish Lakish, notein l'tham, v'gam shirmu enom rim, k'tera zu, chasera melech, yetera melech, chasera tavlin, yetera tavlin. So we don't say this, as opposed to in the first case where we do say it, here we don't say it. Elo, hashta mi'a ha'pagma. But just look at the state of the dish now. Did this flavor that was added, was it detrimental to the k'tera, or was it positive to the k'tera? We don't say maybe if he salted the dish, this would not have ruined the flavor. We don't say if he added in, had he made the dish in its perfect state, this additional isur would have not affected the dish. But rather, we say, whatever the state is, right, exactly, by Shir Husham, exactly the way it is today, we look at it and we say, is it good, or is it no good? So that's the tzad kulo of Reish Lakish, which is that we do go to Reish Lakish, the kulo, which we just look at, does what did it do? Right now, when it fell in, what does it do to the dish? Was it detrimental to the dish? That's not in town of Kam as mutar. If it is irrelevant or positive flavor to the dish, then we say that it's not in town of Shabbach, and it is asur. Alright, so now, Amar Rabbi Bo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol shita'amo umamasho asur v'lokin alav. So anything where it imparts flavor, it's be'en, it's there, and it's isur, which you would get malkut for. Zeu k'zayit, k'zayit b'dei chelat pras. This is the case of k'zayit b'dei chelat pras. So the idea being that when one consumes isur, he does not have to consume the full shear of isur, like in one shot. He just has to, if the isur is dispersed in a dish, as long as within the time of Kedei Achila Pras, he consumes the entire kazayit or kazayit worth of isur, that will be problematic. That will be problematic when you have tamo mamasho, when it's actually be'en, it's imparting flavor, it's be'en, it's asur, and you would get malka for it if you ate a straight kazayit. Therefore, when you eat a Kedei Achila Pras, right, then you also get malkot. What is Kedei Achilat Pras? So Rashi explains that we've seen it many places in Shas, in Erevin, it's really where it's mainly the main sugya is. But Achilat Pras, Pras means half. Right, so Kedei Achilat Pras means the amount of time it would take to eat a half loaf of bread. This is a shear that comes Alocha L'Moshe Misinai. Rashi over here and other places says, Kamehi Achilat Kedei Achilat Pras. How much is a Kedei Achilat Pras? V'hu arba beitzim. That is four beitzim. That I'm subject to be on machloket rishonim, whether it's actually four beitzim, or the Rambam says that it's three beitzim. That's a machloket about how much is the gdei achile pras. And that is the kim lud rabbonon, as Rashi says, tachile pras abishur shiat achila. That's the rabbonon set the standard for what is called shir achila, what's a normal time of consumption. This is called achile pras. That's a normal, that's what they established as being that halacha. And a pras, again, we said, is half a loaf of bread. So over here, you can have isur be consumed, not as a whole kazayit, but dispersed amongst other tavshil or in there, but as long as it's still around and it's imparting flavor, then if you consume the isur in that way, you would violate the isur and you would get malkot for it. Now, tamo velo mamasho, on the other hand, if you have flavor without any mamashut, I mean, the flavor is being imparted, but the item no longer exists, it's not there, and it's asur, ve'en lokin alav, and you won't get any malkut for it, because we're just talking about tam, and not the mamashut. So this idea of kedei achilat pras, the ability to consume a kezayit worth of it, is only true when we're talking about something be'en, when we're talking about something that's intact, and you can consume it, that's true. But if you're just talking about flavor, it doesn't have that same din as kedei achilat pras, it doesn't have the concept of Gdei Achilat Pras, and it will not be Lokei Alav. Now Rashi says, what's a case of Tamo Vilo Mamasho? So Rashi says, Kigon Chalav Shnafal Kdeira. So it's like milk that falls into a tavshil, or into a, I guess, a pot of meat stew, or Chalav Shnafal Imach, or the fats that are sur, that are melted down, Shem Mamasho Ben, they're no longer intact. Now that they're in a liquid form, then they're no longer intact. So that's what Rashi calls Tamo Velo Mamasho. Now, based on this, Rashi says something which is an important halacha. That's why there's a large Tosos here that discusses that Rashi in Perek Gid Anasheh, which we'll get to in Chulin, says, Mikan, from this little piece here, from this sugya, you can conclude that Tam Ki Ikar Lav Del Raita. The Tam Kikar is not Midoraita. That's a principle that not only is the object itself considered to be problematic, but the Tam, the flavor of the object, is Kikar, makes as if it's the object itself. If this imparts flavor to a certain object, then that object also becomes part of the Isur. That object is now Asur, and the example there that the Gemara is using is, for instance, a loaf of bread that is soaked in wine. So a loaf of bread that's soaked in wine for a Nazir. Do we say now when he consumes it that the Tam Ki Ikar, flavor imparted to the bread, becomes that bread itself, is now Asur because it's flavored by the wine? And so the Tam is the Ki Ikar, is as if the actual Isur is there or not. So Rashi says, from our Gemara here, we can conclude that Tam Ki Ikar is not Mina Torah. Because that's what we just said. If it's Tamo Velo Mamasho, if it's just the flavor but not Mamashut, ain't Lokin Alav, you don't get Malkot. So that sounds like Tam Ki Ikar is Lav Doraita. And then Tosa says, Ve'ein Nira Mashapirish Rashi. It doesn't make sense what Rashi says about chalav shenafalu toch basar, the milk that fell into meat. The afilu leperish Rashi, the tam kikar lav doraita. Even according to Rashi, who says that when the flavor is there, it's not doraita, moder bebosu becholav davi doraita, derech bishul asra Torah. Right, that's the whole concept. The whole concept of milk and meat is that you cook them together. So the fact that you cook them together and now there's no mamashut there and all it is doing is imparting tam, that can't be a good example. So Tosu says that I reject that principle that Rashi said. Rashi gave two examples. The one of the milk that's in the meat, and the other one is the chilev nimach, is the fats that have been liquefied. So he says, look, with the basar b'cholav, I disagree with Rashi, because even if you say tam kikar is lab kiyor doraita, you still have the whole basar b'cholav comes. Where does basar b'cholav? Basar b'cholav is exactly that. You have to cook them together. On the other hand, when it comes to the tzarech lemokar, going chilev nimach shenafal v'nivlad toch basar telekarak tam ba'alma. So in that case, I agree with Rashi in his second example that's true, which is there all you have is the liquefied fat is now inside the meat. All you have left is the flavor of the chilev. You don't have the chilev there. There I agree with Rashi that is tam, and that is tam kikar is lav deoraita. Based on that, thank you. Shaul says, based on that, the Chasam Sofer says that Rashi talking about chalav that fell into a kedera is not chalav, like we would kosher milk falling into a kedera of meat, but rather non-kosher milk, which again is not subject to basar b'chalav. Basar b'chalav only applies to kosher meat and kosher milk. It's interesting. It's probably not the pashtut of Rashi, but it's a nice way to solve the problem for Rashi. The Tosus concludes about this, but no nearer the Rabbeinu Tam. That this whole idea of Tam, Kikar, is Lav Doraisa, based on our sugi over here, the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Rashi on that point. And why does he say that? This is on the top already, onto the Amud Bet here, the top. It's about three lines down the Tosus. It says, V'ayi d'hocho. So how's he going to explain it here? Rashi has a good proof from over here. It says, Tamo, v'lo mamasho, wasur, v'ein lokin alav. Right, so there it's a sur, and you don't get a malkot for it. So, V'ayi d'hocho, Tamo, v'lo mamasho, mairi b'mino, d'boto beruba midoraisa. We're talking about min b'mino here, that it's batal b'rov min haTorah. So what we're talking about here is it's a case where it won't matter, because it's batal b'rov min haTorah, and that's why we don't say tam kikar d'oraita over here. Tam kikar is not relevant over here because it's batal d'oraita. So even if you hold tam kikar is d'oraita, over here it won't have application because it's batal b'rov. So since it's batal b'rov, mi d'oraita, it's as if it's not there, and therefore, you can't say tam ki ikar d'oraita. It won't be. There's no application. We're only talking in a din d'rabbanan now, and that's why there's no malkut over here. Oh, I mean that he's saying that it's min b'mino and it's a reza. Yeah, but he has to do that in order to avoid what Rashi's conclusion is that tam ki ikar is lav d'oraita. The Rabbeinu Tam doesn't want that conclusion from our Gemara. So then he says, "Lekach ein lokin alav." V'u'adin afilu ma'ya tamo u'mamasho shelisur be'en. Even if they were be'en, they ain't looking alive, and lo'im kein makiro. Even if it was be'en, you wouldn't get malkot unless you could recognize it, unless it was discernible. I mean, that's the case. Aval b'min she'enu mino habitam greda. But if it's min enu mino, then we're talking about just flavor. Then it's tam greda d'oraita, the lokin alav, and you would have gotten malkot on it. So had it been min she'enu mino, eno chanami, that you could have, the tamo velo mamasho, you could have gotten malkot on it, because then all we care about is the tam, we don't care about anything else. But when it's min bimino, where we're not worried about the tam, we're worried about the batal berov, in that case, it's batal berov mi doraita, then you can't get malkot on it. So that's what the Rabbeinu Tam does in order to solve the problem of not coming to the conclusion that Rashi came to, which is Tam Ki Kar is Lav Doraita based on our Gemara. The Rabbeinu Tam rereads the case over here, as opposed to Rashi, we're saying something that fell into and is into a pot and is flavoring it. Rabbeinu Tam says this is a unique case of Min Bimino, and the reason you don't get Malkut is because it's Batel Birov. So by doing that, you won't come to the conclusion that Tam Ki Kar is Lav Doraita, because it's not relevant in this case. Had it been relevant, which is what the Rabbeinu Tam says, you would have gotten Malka. In Hochanami, had it been Min Sheino Bimino, then you would have gotten it. Or had it been Min Bimino, and it was Mukar, and you could distinguish it, then you would get Malkot. And therefore, you would come to the opposite conclusion than Rashi over here.
The point that the distinction here seems to be, if it's Hamal Malashah or Hamal Malashah, whether it's Min Bimino or Min Bimino.
Right, right. The Rabbeinu Tam is definitely adding a factor that was not there in the Gemara. So here we have this statement of Amar Rabbi Yochanan. One is kosher tamo mamasho. If it's giving flavor and it's there, it's extant still, then it's asur vilokin alav, and you get makot for it. Again, it doesn't have to be that the whole kzayit is one place. As long as there's a kzayit wither for isur that you will consume within the time of kdei the chibras, that is problematic. Midoraita, and you get makot. Tamo v'lo mamasho. It's flavor without the object being there intact. According to Rashi, means that it can't be intact at all. Then it's asur, but ain't looking alive. It's a din derabon and not din deraita. According to Rabbeinu Tam, even if it's intact, even if it's still there, as long as it's not discernible, then that is not a problem, because Rabbeinu Tam is learning it's min bimino over here. Whereas Rashi is learning that it's a small amount that fell in, but that's something that's imparting flavor. And Rashi comes to the conclusion, therefore, that Tam Kikar is lav doraita. Rabbeinu Tam says no, that Tam Kikar could be doraita, and we have no proof from here, because here we're talking about where it's batel berov, and therefore, mi doraita, there's nothing to talk about anymore. This has to be a din derabana that we're discussing over here. Now, v'rim riba tam lifkam mutar. So now this is a kula, which is that if it's pogame, even machmat davar acher, then if this isur comes along to make the pagam, then it's mutar. For instance, if there's some sort of bad flavor in there that's not, you can't get a sense of it, you can't discern it yet, but then this isur falls in, and together this isur plus the other item that's there create a bad flavor to it, that is mutar. And that's basically what Reish Lakish said before, which is that even if it's missing the salt or has too much salt, and that's what causes it to be noten the hamdafkam, that's mutar. The Gedamri in Reish Lakish, yes, the second lashon of Reish Lakish. V'leima, so just say straight out. Im natan tam nefgam mutar. Why don't you just say it straight out? Akamashvan, dafagav deike mile chunita, the pagma bahadei, even though there are other items together with the isur that are causing the bad flavor, that is okay. That's okay. It's still mutar. V'hilchotok a lishna batra de Reish Lakish. And if the locha is like the lishna batra of Reish Lakish, the lishna the kula of Reish Lakish. From all of these memrot that we just saw here, all these amoraim, that notin tam nefkam is mutar. That's what we can conclude over here. So he says, Amar ayabai bishlam kulo lechaye. Says, from all of them I can see that. El deresh lakish, amro kamar, vele lo svirle. When it comes to Reish Lakish, that does not seem to be the case. So who are all these people that we're talking about here? So Rashi lists them for us, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Barchana, Rabbi Dimi, and Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Abo. So you turn back. The first statement in our Gemara today was Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. This is the aloch out of our Mishnah, which is, notain that mutam lifgam is mutar. And then he distinguishes between if it's up front or versus if you put it in first and then only became pogame later. So that's the first statement. The second statement was, chen itarabin amar rabba barchana rabbi yochanan. So that's the second person who says like him is rabba barchana says, notain lifgam is mutar. The third one is Reish Lakish. Am Reish Lakish. Notein tam lefgam is mutar. And then he distinguishes in two lashonot. How do you discern it? But notein tam lefgam is mutar. And the last lashon was Am Rabbah Am Rabbi Yochanan, which was this, which tamo mamasho or tamo ve'ein lo mamasho. And then the last statement is Riba tam lefgam mutar. So this is all four of them say this. Now, Abaye Kalanz says, I understand by all four of them why you would say notein tam lefgam is mutar. The only problem I have is by Reish Lakish's statement. But listen to Reish Lakish's statement. Reish Lakish says like this, Amar Reish Lakish, notein tam, notein lefgam she'amru, that they say. Wait, what do you mean, notein tam lefgam, that they say? That sounds like the Reish Lakish himself doesn't hold of that din. He's saying, whoever says notein tam lefgam, let me explain it to you, but I don't hold like it. And that's what Abai is saying over here. Abai is saying, bishlam abu kulu lechaye, I understand it. Reish Lakish, amro kamar, that they said. V'leilo svirle. It sounds like he doesn't hold that no tentam nifgam is mutar. So mechlal the ikal amad hamer no tentam nifgam is asur. Is there such a person? Is there such a dayo that no tentam nifgam is asur? The Gemara says in. V'atanya, we have a brisa. Echad no tentam nifgam. V'echad no tentam l'shevach. Doesn't matter what flavor is imparted, whether it's a good flavor or a poor flavor, detrimental or beneficial. Asur, divrei Rabbi Meir. Here you go. Rabbi Meir is explicit that no tentam nifgam is asur. Rabbi Shimon Omer, the Shevach Asur. So this is Rabbi Shimon, is the more common, what we know is that if it's beneficial, if it imparts a nice flavor, then it's Asur. Whereas if it's Noten Lifam Lifgam, if it gives a detrimental or a poor taste to it, then it's Mutar. So now, what's the Maitam of the Rabbi Meir? What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Meir's position that Noten Tam Lifgam is Asur? He learns it out, Migulei Ovdei Kochavim. He learns it out from the pots or the kelim that were taken in the battle with Midian, where Kadosh Baruch Hu says you have to kasher the pots and the kelim that you brought back from the battle. Well, why do you have to be kosher? Why do you have to kasher them? Gulei Ovdei Chamim, lav no teintam lefgam hu. Isn't it when you're kashering the pots of the Ovdei Chamim, they're no teintam lefgam, vasai rachmana. Nevertheless, the Torah says you still have to kasher them. So, achanami lo shna, so to over here, it makes no difference. So, v'idach, kid ravuna, braid ravchiyo. Wait a minute. So what is the other opinion? What does Rabbi Shimon say? How does he answer this up? He has a good point here. That generally, the flavors in the pots are no teintam livgam, and if the Torah is requiring you to kasher them, then it sounds like no teintam livgam is a problem. So he holds like a position that we've seen earlier in the Masechta, which is, Dam Ravuna Breid Rav Chiyah Lo Asur Torah L'Gedera Bat Yoma. The Torah says what's osur is only something that was used within the last 24 hours, Delo Livgam Hu, that doesn't impart a poor flavor or a detrimental flavor. So now, the answer that they're giving is that the only thing that needed to be kashered out of the clay midyan were things that were used in the last 24 hours, only bat yoma. It was inu bet yoma, and it was no ten tam levgam, then eno chanami, then you would not have to kasher the pot. So, v'idach, now this is an interesting position of Rabbi Meir, kedera bat yoma nami yefshalo depagma aporta, that a kedera, even in its first 24 hours, if there's no way it doesn't impart some negative flavor over here. There's at least, if after 24 hours the flavor is definitely imparted as detrimental or poor taste, then there has to be a process from which the moment you finish cooking in it, till that 24 hour period, there has to be a deterioration in the flavor. So that deterioration in the flavor is going to impart a poorer flavor somehow, and therefore there's some breakdown in the flavor. So that's the position of Rabbi Meir, that even in a Gedera Bat Yoma, there is some deterioration or some imparted flavor that is detrimental, and therefore I learned from Giulei Ovdei Chochavim that Notein Tam Vifgam is Asur. Rabbi Shimon Maitaimo. What's the position of Rabbi Shimon? Where does he learn it from? Titania lo tochlu kol neveila la gera shebisharecha. Right? You have to give it to the ger. Don't eat the neveila. Give it to the ger. Kol aruya the ger kriya neveila. If the ger will consume it, whatever is ra'uy for him is considered to be neveila. Shein ruya the ger in a kriya neveila. What's not ruya for the ger, that's called a neveila. So the determination of whether something is considered a neveila or not a neveila is whether the ger would consume it, or the ger toshav would consume such nevelot, and that obviously has to do with whether it tastes good or doesn't taste good. If it no longer tastes good, if it's no teintam lifgam, then he won't consume it, then it doesn't have a status. It's not called Easter anymore, it's not called neveila anymore. Rabbi Meir, what does Rabbi Meir do with this? He says, "How lemute shrucha miikara." That's coming to exclude a case where the pgam was already there, meaning that it pre-existed, it was there from before it ever became a nevela. What's that? So Rashi gives the example. Mukat shchin mechayim. This animal was already sickly and it had already a shchin, boils and blisters and some sort of sickness while it was alive. Behold, the ifgama, the taste of the basar was already poor before it ever was shechted. It's not that the meat flavor deteriorated after it was already shechted and it was meat. It was once meat, and now it's no longer tasty, it was no longer good, it's spoiled. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the meat is spoiled before it ever became meat. I mean, it was spoiled while the animal was alive. So that's itzer mikara. That is, once it's like that, that already can be notain tam lefgam is problematic. But once it already had a good flavor at any point in time, notain tam lefgam will not help you anymore. So what Rabbi Meir is suggesting is that notain tam lefgam does not bring heter. If it was once a suer and it had good flavor, then notain tam lefgam won't help you. But if it never had edible flavor to it, it was never edible, it was not something that ever had a good flavor to it, then that is notain tam lefgam mi'ikara, and that'll be mutar, or won't impart a flavor that is a problem of isur. If Rabbi Shimon, because what do you need an exclusion for when it comes to srucha? When it comes to srucha miikara is not food; it's inedible. It's like eating dirt. It's the equivalent of eating dirt. So if it's the equivalent of eating dirt, then you don't need a heter for that. You don't need me to come along and teach me about such a concept or such a din. And therefore, this din over here is coming to teach me that notei tam lefgam in general, when it comes on something that is heter or mutar, and then it takes away the isur of that object. So if you had good meat and then the flavor deteriorates, then it's no longer a problem of isur because it's notei tam lefgam. Turns out that the Tosfos points out here that there is actually a three-way machlokus in these dinim over here. I'm not going to go too far into Tosfos because Tosfos gets into really deep into Tarovis issues. But Tosfos just says shloshah machlokot badavar. It's actually a three-way machlokus here. The Rabbi Meir de Shmaitin, the Rabbi Meir over here, who sabar kol notein of gam asur afilu kishub pogeim pagum. That notein of gam is asur even when it's pagum. Gam she isur be'en. Right? Kediyalif lo de gamrei migule kub de chamim and nevela lo yalif klal de hetir. He doesn't learn out from Nevela to say it's mutar, and he learns out from Gula Chadim to say that it's asur. He says, there's no such thing as notein tam lefgam. Whereas Rabbi Shimon, matir kol pgam. Rabbi Shimon of our sugya says anything that's a detrimental flavor is problematic. Afil kshu shebach, even if it was good, she'isr be'en. If the isr is in, came into hashal lefgamhu, since even though now the isr is lefgam, shari, the yalav gamri mi nevela, mi gulev dechim lo yevklal. Because he learns out from nevela entirely, and not from gulev dechim at all. So Rabbi Meir, who learns out from gulev dechim, says that even if it's pagam now, and it's problematic now, it's still isr. And Rabbi Shimon's the other way around, that even if it was once a good flavor, but now it's problematic, that is mutar the gamre. So those are the two tzadim. Then you have the third opinion, which is Rabbanan de Pesachim. There's the position of the Rabbanan de Pesachim, they argue Rabbi Kiva, Sabi de Dabashu Pagam, She Isr Be'en, Sharit. That if the Isr was around, if the Pagam happened while the Isr was still extant, then it's mutar. Because that we learn out of Nevela. From a Nevela, once the Nevela is inedible, when it loses its flavor, then it's no longer called Nevela. Aval Pagam de Hashta, if the Isr is not around, but the flavor is deteriorated at this point in time, Be'en, Achshav, Amnam Hayel Shavach, but once was a good flavor, but now it's a detrimental flavor. So Isr Be'en, the Asr Yalifla. Then they learn that it's Asr because they learn out from Geulei of the Chavim. So there, the Rabbanan in Pesachim are a balance between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir says that notein tam lefgam always is asur, no matter when it became the pagam happened, except it was pagam ikara. No matter when the pagam happened, whether it happened, the pagam happened while it was still asur, or whether it happened after it already fell in or there was imparted flavor, then it's always asur. Rabbi Shimon's the other way, it's always mutar. No matter when the flavor deteriorated, whether the flavor deteriorated while there was still isur around, or whether the flavor deteriorated later, that's all mutar. You have the Rabbanan who take that middle position. They say, you're right. Rabbi Meir's right, and Rabbi Shimon's right. They learn out from Nevela, and they also learn out from Gilui of the Chamim. What's the difference? By Nevela, the Isser is still intact. When the Isser is intact, then only if it became Gam while it was still Isser, do we say it's mutar. But what we learn out from Gulei of the Chamim means that if it was the tam or if imparted a good flavor, and then only later on did it deteriorate, over there it's going to remain asur. Because since at the time that it was imparting the flavor, it was good, and only deteriorated later on, the deterioration happened after it already imparted flavor, after Gil Shevach, and the Isser is no longer around, that will be asur, and that they learn out from Gulei of the Chamim. Gulei of the Chamim is about tam. And there we see the tam, that even though the tam was bat yomo, and then later on deteriorates, nevertheless, because it was bat yomo originally, that is problematic, that is asur. So there you have those three opinions that come out of the Gemara, but it depends where you learn it from. The more you learn from Gulei of the Chamim, the more likely you are to say that pagam is problematic. The more you learn from Nevela, the less likely you are to say that pagam is problematic. And then we have the Rabbanan's position, which is an in-between position. Okay, we'll stop over here.